B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, High Noon in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. We're out west in Ashburn, Virginia. Quick information, the kid, Nate Herbig, that retired, B, he also didn't play last season with a rotator cuff injury. So
okay.
My guess is that's injury-driven. Right now, we're going to get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and we're going to NYC to talk to our boy, Barstool Nate. Nate Dog, what's happening, man?
Football season, let's go, guys. We finally have something to talk about again.
Dude, PFT and the Pardon My Take crew
were here.
Why didn't you come down?
I'm not a part of the Pardon My Take show. That's why I'm not there.
Yeah, but like, for a DC day, I thought maybe you'd make a move. You have become very New York snooty.
It's kind of a wuss.
You don't leave that little island very often.
I guess my invite got lost in the mail. I don't know. You'll
have his ankle braces don't let him leave New York.
I keep my head down. I do my job. Put my hard hat on. Clock in, clock out. I'm just doing my job the best I can.
All right. I don't want to start with the annoying stuff with you because I want to talk for a while. So, with you watching from afar, I know you're paying attention to all the coverage and everything. What are kind of your takeaways of this Commanders training camp so far?
So, if we're avoiding the big story, everything else seems to be going fine, right? It's quiet. It's knock on wood, injury free. Every clip is everybody getting along great. It's exactly where we want to be on July 29th, besides one glaring omission that we're not talking about quite yet. But besides that, it seems like everything's going very smoothly. It's almost too quiet in that weird way where we're still getting used to it. It's like, how come there's not, crazy things happening at camp? It's just business as usual. Pads are on. There's some guys that are making waves, like a Ja'Cory Brooks I'm very interested in. It's just the rookies getting their reps, especially the offensive line, just getting their reps in. Laremy Tunsil just looking like an absolute beast out there. And then just the younger guys, just trying to make the team. But you're not hearing anything bad about anybody, which I think is very impressive. I don't know if it's a shift in the landscape, a shift in the media, or if the players are just that good. But yeah, I'm very encouraged by camp so far.
Yeah, I think what it is like people are understanding right now. Like, it's hard to make those outlandish statements when you're watching guys practice in pads. I mean, not in pads per se. Yesterday pads. Most of them are non-pads. You can't really tell much about offensive linemen and defensive linemen when they don't have pads on. And I think more reporters are getting a little smarter with that. Some people still try, but most of them are smart.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. So besides the Terry situation, it seems like all good things.
Yeah. I mean, the Terry situation is kind of the only lingering thing out here, right? I know you live on the internet. Yesterday, the Schefter report came out that perhaps – and Schefter, I think, was pretty clear about keeping it – he didn't report anything, but that Terry wants to make more than DK and maybe considerably more. Where are you at with this Terry situation? I mean, hell, he's here now. He's signing autographs. He's hanging out. How you feeling?
It's brutal, right? Because it's so obvious Terry wants to be on the field practicing with his guys playing. It's clear to me that his agent is telling him you can't be out there, like, we're gonna get you as much money as possible. I'm wondering, and this is all just my opinion and me guessing and conjecture or whatever, I'm wondering if Terry at some point is gonna be like, all right, agent, you're doing your best, let's get a deal done. Maybe I don't need $40 million a year. Maybe I'll survive on $33 million a year. He does the $33 million a year, 3-year deal, and he gets back on the practice field. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that both sides are playing hardball, and eventually, maybe August 3rd or something, they just sit down, meet in the middle, shake hands, and we get past this. I'm very much hoping. Terry has been nothing but great to this franchise, to the fans, to the community, to the team. We can talk about him forever, how he deserves a statue at the new stadium, etc. it's heartbreaking in a way that this is happening, because he's not, you know, he's Terry. He's not annoying. He's not problematic. He's not toxic. He's not any of that. He just, and his team, just want a new massive contract that, you know, wide receivers, like you mentioned, DK, have signed, and he wants that money. It's just, he's 2 years too late on it, age-wise, and I think that seems to be the big holdup, is he's going to be 30 years old next month, or in 2 months, and they don't want to give him, you know, $40 million a year over 4 years, so I get both sides. I get Terry deserves the money. I get Adam Peters being like, hey, we can't pay you top three wide receiver money. It's painful. It stinks. Terry obviously wants to be out there catching balls from Jaden. It's so clear that he wants to be. I think it still gets done. I think he's still, you know, out there playing week one for Washington. This is just painful to go through for everybody, for him, for us, the fans, for the front office. You know, they don't want this to be their reputation of not paying the cornerstone of the franchise. Every side of it stinks.
It is a tough
point there.
it is a tough spot, and you wonder how long they're going to kind of take it. You know what I mean? Like, it's tough because I've said this repeatedly to B. I want Adam Peters to be data-driven and not emotional-driven.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad Josh Harris isn't stepping in and saying, like, oh, get this done. I love this guy.
Can I just touch on that point? It's so funny. I love that point so much because – for years, for decades, Dan Snyder meddling and giving guys ginormous deals, and we all hated it, right? We're like, get Snyder out of there. He shouldn't be giving contracts to, you know, he should let football people do football things. And now we're sitting here like, man, I kind of wish someone would just pay Terry the money. So it's very interesting and funny to me how all of a sudden a lot of us are like, oh, if only we had a guy who would pay him. But I'm with you. I like Adam Peters being the football guy, data-driven, analytics-driven. It's just at some point, it's like Terry's different. He's not Albert Haynesworth, right? Like, Terry is Terry. The algorithm can't factor in Terry McLaurin. Like, he's special. He's unique. He's one of one to the fans, to the franchise, to everything. And I think that's very important. And maybe you do pay him a little more money because of that factor. I don't think you pay him top one wide receiver in the league money. I don't think you destroy the future of the organization to pay a 30-year-old wide receiver, but I think you can throw him a couple more nickels because of who he is. I truly think at the end of the day, the algorithms and all that don't keep into account Terry is Terry, and he's different from everybody else.
Yeah, it doesn't show none of that. No, I think that's why, you know, if you are going to be 100% data-driven, and then they got to not say some things that they say, because the things that you promoted and you defined a commander by, 17 fits all of them.
Yeah.
And it makes people question, are you saying what you really mean?
Yeah, and I think Peters knows that, and he knows, like, people are going to look at this situation, you know, a pending free agent or whatever. Do they take care of their players in Washington? And I would say, without a doubt, yes. Like, 1,000,000,000%, this regime, you know, from the top down, takes care of the players, their families. They are spending money hand over fist to improve the facilities, the nutrition, mm-hmm. the training, everything. But all of that won't matter if this Terry situation is just completely botched. And I don't think they're botching it because of, you know, all these factors that we've talked about. But I don't. At some point, that might not matter to, you know, a free agent looking at, should I come to Washington or should I go somewhere else? They might be like, well, they wouldn't pay Terry. What makes, you know, me think they'll pay me? And that's what scares me, is as great as this entire organization is now, and, I mean, Harris is just digging into his pockets to upgrade everything he can at every given moment. I'm worried that might not matter.
Well, dude, one thing I wanted to actually tell you, because I feel like you kind of did really well with the blog, I think, when the rainwater spill happened at Northwest Stadium. I have a buddy that's been over there a bunch this offseason, and he sent me a video of they're replacing all the piping at Northwest Stadium, and they're putting in PVC piping. And if you live in an old house, like this is replacing old metal pipes that rust and break and leak with PVC piping is the way like builders are doing everything now, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about the organization is doing that for a place that if they get their way, and it looks like they're going to, they're only going to be in it for 5 more years.
Yeah.
Like, one, maybe the maintenance is just so overdue they have to, but that, again, shows the commitment to doing things the right way.
Oh, they do it the right way.
They are spending money. They are spending money on what is basically a rental. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, and
I mean, but the thing about it is
remember,
like, if,
go ahead, D-Mitch.
Yeah, when you go into a college dorm room, you do stuff to it.
Right.
Knowing you're going to be leaving it soon, and it may not be yours next year. So,
yeah,
it's the same thing. You got, why are you there? You wanted to look good.
Josh Harris is truly spending, as you said, on a rental, just unbelievable amounts of money. And I remember reading, you know, with the whole Capital One Arena renovation going on, just I remember reading about the elevators there, and, like, the elevators at Cap One are just super outdated. And it was, you know, high six figures just to replace the elevators in this arena. And now we're talking about a football stadium that is just falling apart, hanging on by a thread. Hopefully the vote goes through with ease. Is it this week? I guess, yeah. And, you know, they break ground on the new stadium soon. But Josh Harris gets that he has to give the fans and the players and everybody involved, you know, a reasonable place to play that Dan Snyder just let fall apart. And it's so commendable. And then so he does everything right. And he's letting the football people take care of the football. And we've been praying for that for ages. So we can't sit here and you know, complain about the Terry deal or the lack thereof, because the football people are doing football things. And we have, you know, a top three front office and GM in the entire league. And we just have to trust them, as painful as it is. Nobody wants to see 17 in another jersey. Nobody. Not a single fan of this team wants that. But,
totally.
And that's a big but, we have to trust Peters to do what's best for the future of the team. And it's so painful to think about that. What if it's not in our best interest to pay him what he wants? What if his team truly, Terry's team, truly does not budge from their demands, and there's an offer, you know, for a trade somewhere else? It's disgusting to think about, but we've prayed for times like these, meaning we've prayed for a GM who focuses on football and isn't moved by emotion, and we have that now, so we can't be hypocrites all of a sudden, but man, does it suck.
Yeah,
but yeah, a lot of us have been the hypocrites because, like you just stated earlier, we asked for Dan to step out, but now we want somebody to step in.
It happens, and we just have to remember that. We have to remember how far we've come, D-Mitch. We don't want to go back to that. It's just so unfortunate. Terry is special, and he's different, and how much he means to everybody. If he was anybody, like almost literally anybody else, be like, all right, he wants 40 mil. He's not worth 40 mil. You know, have fun on the Steelers. Terry isn't anybody else. He's one of one. He's unique. He's special, etc., as I've said 100 times. So and he knows that, and that's his leverage. And that's so annoying if you're Adam Peters, because Adam Peters, at the end of the day, he knows that too.
Talking with our friend Barstool Nate here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You can give Nate Dogg a follow at Barstool Nate. There was a story that I saw your tweet about that kind of made me aware of it, because I just get in this like super training camp bubble here. Bryce Harper apparently got into a screaming match with MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred in the Phillies locker room, and it's all about what looks like a coming labor stoppage in baseball. What have you read? Where are you at on this baseball situation, Nate?
So, yeah, I talked to my baseball friends here, and they are very pessimistic about this entire situation. The baseball all of a sudden wanting a salary cap, I think, is crazy. Yeah. I kind of like the Wild West that, you know, if you're the New York Yankees or, you know, not the pathetic Yankees as they are now, but as we remember the Yankees, you spend money until the cows come home and you win World Series. I love the idea of baseball never having a salary cap. If anything, they need a salary floor so pathetic teams like, you know, Pittsburgh Pirates spend money and are competitive and don't screw over their fan base year after year after year, the Marlins as well.
I love
Bryce yelling at Manfred to get out of his locker room. You know, Bryce is getting paid insane money to underdeliver in Philadelphia. Mind you, the Nats did win the World Series after letting him walk. People should never forget that. But I do side with Bryce on this. Don't come into my clubhouse talking about paying the players less. Like, you go march somewhere else, Rob Manfred. Get out of here.
What they've done, they have a commission of players now that they have called the CAP group. It's all former players now who's running in there telling these guys that they should accept a salary cap. And they never had to work under that same type of way. And I think that's what pissed the players off. That they find out, just like, imagine me running into the locker room telling the guys, "Oh yeah, I mean y'all should lower the salary cap."
Nobody can imagine you running anywhere. We know that you're not running.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what's happening right now, and that's where Bryce was so pissed off at.
So the quote, the thing you tweeted that caught my eye. I don't know who wrote the story. I guess it's ESPN. Maybe it's Passan. Quiet for the majority of the meeting. Harper, sitting in a chair and holding a bat, eventually grew frustrated and said if MLB were to propose a cap and hold firm to it, players are not scared to lose 162 games, sources in the meeting told ESPN. Harper then stood up, walked toward the middle of the room, faced up to Manfred, and said, "If you want to speak about that, you can get the bleep out of our clubhouse." This thing is...
Let me ask you a question. If a commissioner comes to a meeting, and they have been doing meetings that are less than 30 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, why the hell did he come there and waste your time? If he's not having a meeting for an hour, having a true situational and conversations, then it's a waste of time. He's coming in to tell you what he's going to do. Then I forgot the other guy's name. I was reading the article. The guy telling him, "Hey, man, you know he's a powerful guy. You don't need to talk to him like that." Like, it's a threat.
Yeah.
You know who else is pretty powerful? Bryce Harper. Like,
the baseball players.
Right. Like,
one thing we say that they all make money. If they don't have a season, the owners ain't making money neither.
Well, my quote tweet, JP and B Mitch, was, "How do I buy Savannah banana stock right now?" Because if Bryce Harper is saying we're not scared to lose 162 games, you're going to be seeing a lot more of the freaking Savannah bananas during a full season lockout for Major League Baseball. For better or for worse, those guys are salivating at the idea of baseball missing a season, which obviously nobody wants. Savannah bananas or a lockout, but my baseball friends here at Barstool say this thing's gonna get a lot uglier until it gets better. They are not optimistic that a deal will get done if one side is salary cap and the other side is we will sit out an entire season if you even mention that word again. I don't think they're very close right now.
But this is my question: why is it always that owners always want players to help them protect them from themselves?
I think owners are freaked out by Cohen with the Mets. I think they're freaked out by this Juan Soto deal.
Okay, but the whole thing about it is they weren't freaked out by the damn Ohtani deal.
Right.
They weren't freaked out by the five people that signed over that, well over $1 billion up front. You know, those people signed. This is the owners that are doing this. The players aren't signing anybody to these contracts. So why is it always owners against players, but guess what? The players got to help you be smarter.
Won't you think about the billionaire owners, B. Mitch, and what they have to go through?
Hell no, ever.
I think he was joking.
I was joking.
I have a bunch of Nats fans mad at me because when they drafted the kid Willits first overall, I said, I wonder if money's involved here because Holiday went, and these guys are yelling at me, I don't understand the MLB draft, and it allows them to spend more money later, and I get that. But, like, they're running a cheap organization now. And Thomas Boswell, who just went into the Baseball Hall of Fame, shout out to Boz, wrote a story like 3 days later. Like, if the Nats aren't going to run a real operation, they need to sell the team. And I hate that that's where we're at because Nats baseball, for that decade run, maybe it was like 6 years where they were seemingly in the playoffs every year or close to it, was so much fun. And now it's just not. And now it's like, Trade deadline's Thursday. What are they going to do? Are they going to actually entertain trading one of these young studs? Clearly not James Wood, but like a Gore or Abrams or something. And it just sucks being a have-not. We were a have-not for so long in football, and now it's a have city. That baseball team's a have-not.
Mm. Yeah, the baseball team situation has not improved at all, not even a little tiny bit. It's just getting worse. It's almost like someone sat down and was like, hey, this is how much money you make if you try to compete for World Series, and this is how much money you make if you sell all your players at their peak and you don't compete and you don't care at all about winning, and it was the exact same number. So, or maybe you just make more by not trying. It's crazy to me that you can be worth so much money and just, you know, like you have, it's an infinite money glitch. You own a baseball team. You have the TV money. Just go sign a couple good players and compete and maybe win a World Series. Like, you're not going to go from having $10 billion to your name to zero if you sign a couple middle relief pitchers. Like, it's just, go sign some players or don't own the team. I get some owners just look at teams as investments. It's just like, oh, we own a couple houses as investments. We have this boat as an investment, and we own a baseball team as an investment. I hate the way of thinking that. There's only 30 teams. You should run it, and you should try to win a World Series. You should care about everything, or you shouldn't own it. I understand business is business, blah, 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 blah. I just think that's corny and cheap, and I hate it.
Thank you, Nate Dogg. Appreciate the time.
All right, brother.
Hey, stay cool out there, and tell Jaden I say hello.
Will do. Our friend Barstool Nate joining us via the Rude
we'll
Guest
use that word
hotline.
Friend loosely.
give him a follow at Barstool Nate. When we come back, defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles are in the NFC East. But who's the team to beat in the NFC East this year? Nobody go anywhere.